Exodus chapter 13. That's the second book in the Bible, right in the front, Exodus chapter 13. We're going to start there and then quickly jump into Exodus 14. We have just a beautiful, beautiful passage, encouraging passage before us this morning. Father, I ask that you would greatly encourage your people. Remind us of who you are, what you can do. That you never leave us or forsake us. Give your people courage in these days. Bless our time together, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our next verse in Hebrews chapter 11 points to where I've brought you to this morning. And that verse in Hebrews chapter 11 reads, "By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned." The crossing of the Red Sea, one of the most well-known miracles in the whole Bible, probably the greatest miracle really in the Old Testament. It is the story of God delivering his people in a mighty way. It is the story of God actually fighting for his people. And it's the story of God absolutely humiliating and destroying the enemy of his people. That Pharaoh in Egypt was an enemy of God, decisively so. He was an enemy of God's people. He was treating God's people terribly. He would not let God's people go. So God gave him 10 opportunities to do the right thing. He dropped 10 plagues on the land of Egypt. Finally, after the 10th plague, with the death of every firstborn in every Egyptian household, Pharaoh said, "Okay, go. Get out of Egypt. You're free to go." And so 2 million plus Hebrews left Egypt. But God knew what was in Pharaoh's heart. And God knew that Pharaoh was not going away. Egypt was not going away. He knew that they would just simply regroup, wait some time, rethink, and eventually go back after those Hebrew slaves. While Egypt was a superpower, they would not rest until they recaptured the Hebrews. Now, God knew that, and so God had to take them out for the sake of protecting his people and as judgment against a wicked nation. And that's what he does in this story. I want you to pick it up. Look at verse 17 of chapter 13. It says, "Then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by way of the wilderness of the Red Sea." Now understand, when that nation left Egypt, God literally led them. He held the steering wheel. He led them as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. All they had to do was follow the cloud. God led them out of Egypt. And understand that he led them in a very strange direction. The shortest path, the easiest path, was due east. That was as quick as you could get to the promised land. God did not lead them that way. He led them southeast into the wilderness on the other side of the Red Sea. Now, if you were a part of that group, you would have thought, is God lost? He's leading the wrong direction. How strange. Well, it even gets stranger. Look at verse 1 of chapter 14. It says, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pi Hahiroth, between Migdal and the sea, opposite Baal Siphon. You shall camp before it by the sea." Now, God instructs Moses to lead the people to a specific place. And basically, God is leading his people into a natural cul-de-sac. They start the wrong direction, southeast. They turn and they find themselves in this place where there's a mountain range to the north, a mountain range to the south, the Red Sea to the east, and the desert wasteland to the west. That's not a good place to be. You're trapped. You're hemmed in. You're in a vulnerable place from a military standpoint. And again, I think if we had been there, we'd have thought, God, what are you doing? Moses, even scratching his head, why here? You seem to be leading us in the wrong direction and then into this place of vulnerability deliberately. Well, God lets Moses in on what he's doing. God, still speaking to Moses in verse 3, says, "Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they're bewildered by the land." The wilderness has closed them in. "Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. Moses, listen, Pharaoh's keeping tabs on you. Now I know this. And he's going to think you're lost. He's going to think you have no idea where you're going, that you're closed in by the wilderness. And that's okay, Moses, because that's exactly what I want him to think. That's why I'm leading him, leading you in the way that I'm leading you. Pharaoh's going to get bold. He's going to pursue you. He's going to think that he can take you and trap you in. But don't be concerned, Moses. I'm not trapping you. I'm trapping him, and you're the bait. God is way smarter than the enemy, isn't he? And way more powerful, as he's going to demonstrate. And you know what? Pharaoh took the bait. It says in verse 5, "Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people, and they said, 'What have we done this? Why have we done this that we have let Israel go from serving us?' So he made ready his chariot and took his people with them. Also, he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel." Verse 9, "The Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen, his army, and overtook them camping by the sea beside Pi Hahiroth before Baal Ziphon." So God knew Pharaoh would do it. Pharaoh did it. He's sitting, I see him in his palace thinking, I just let our whole labor force go? What, am I crazy? And then he gets the reports. They're trapped. They don't even know where they're going. Gang, Pharaoh armed himself with the entire Egyptian army. 600 chariots, all the horses, all the soldiers. They blast out of Egypt and they easily overtake the children of Israel. So now you have God's people in this place where there's a mountain range to the north, a mountain range to the south, the sea to the east, and the Egyptians, the army, closing in. Now I think that Pharaoh was making big plans. I think he was thinking, okay, first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to go in there and slaughter Moses, kill all the leadership. I'll kill several of the slaves right there just to, put my fear in them. And then I'll chain them and I'll drag them back to Egypt and make them the slaves that they should be. Pharaoh's thinking, I have these people right where I want them. God is thinking, I've got Pharaoh right where I want him. Now, inside the camp, inside the children of Israel, there's fear. They're terrified. The people look behind, they see the army coming. And the text goes on to say that they cried out to the Lord in fear. Some even got testy with Moses. Some say, nice work, Moses. Thanks for taking us out of Egypt. What, there weren't enough grave sites in Egypt? Did you take us out into the wilderness to die? It would be better to live as a slave than die in the wilderness. You know, when people get under pressure and there's crisis and you feel trapped, sometimes they're just consumed by fear and they say the stupidest things and do the silliest things. Some people, when they're at the Red Sea, when they're trapped there, they lose all sense. But then other people, when they're trapped, we're in the place like they're at here in this story, they become strong in faith. Moses, verse 13, said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Gang, there are people that have this belief in God that's way bigger than the problems. Moses, though in this situation, knows God's in charge. God is doing something. We're following him. He's got a plan. And so he says to all the people, chill. Don't surrender. Don't give up. God is going to fight for you. Now at this point, Moses doesn't even know what God has planned. I mean, Moses is, how are we going to get out of this? But God is going to do wonders like they've never seen. God begins to fight for them. Look at verse 19. It says, "And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night." Now I love this detail. Maybe some of you don't realize the detail about this story. Here come the Egyptians. They're pinning in the children of Israel. Here's the Red Sea. The pillar of fire, the pillar, the cloud, right here. As this army comes storming in, the pillar gets up, floats this way, and drops right there. Do you understand that God literally becomes the shield for his people? No Egyptians are allowed to go in. And on the Egyptian side of the shield is darkness. On the Israel side of the shield, you got light. The Lord God, our shield. And that shield will be in place for the entire night. The Egyptian army got there probably about sunset, right around twilight. The shield is set up in place. And then look what God does that night while there's separation between the camps. Verse 21. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Now I got to tell you, when I get to heaven, I hope he has a home movie collection. I want to see this. I grew up with Cecil B. DeMille's, right? The Ten Commandments. How many of you saw that? And what they did with the Red Sea crossing was pretty impressive. That movie was produced in 1956. I think they did a great job, but nobody could do justice to what happened. This is a miracle that is, it's hard. I mean, I want you to just think of the logistics of this. God divided a sea so that a nation of 2 million could cross it in one night on foot. Now you say, how in the world did God make that happen? 2 million people, that's a lot of people. Some of the biggest stadiums in the world hold, what, 100,000 people? 20 of those stadiums crossing a sea in one night. How did God do it? Well, things had to happen very quick, right? That shield goes up, God parts the sea. Didn't take long. I see God's hand just parting it. And then how big would that gap have had to have been? Well, you gotta figure out how far of a path across it was. And, you know, I looked this up. The average walking speed is about 3 to 4 miles per hour. You walk about 3 to 4 miles per hour. So let's say they have to go across the sea. Let's say it's 12, 15 miles. So, you know, a normal person could make that in about 3, 4, 5 hours. But the problem is you got to get 2 million to go across. So the gap had to be pretty big. It couldn't be a little path where you walk 2 by 2 holding hands, watching the fish, you know. Most scholars believe that God put a gap in the Red Sea that was almost 2 miles wide. That would hold 5,000 people abreast. Back a quarter mile. That many people. Walking across this Red Sea. Marching across this Red Sea. Radical. Incredible. God opens up the sea. And in the children of Israel go. Verse 23 says, and the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. So sometime during the night, after a good portion of God's people are making their way, it's all about timing here. The pillar is lifted, and the Egyptians storm into the Red Sea in pursuit of the Israelites. Now, I don't know about you, but the pillar thing, I would have gone home after that. Wouldn't you have? But you know, the enemies of God, they get blind with rage and arrogance. And Pharaoh says, I'm going to win this battle. So he tells his army, charge. And there they go in to the divided Red Sea. Look at verse 24. And it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud. And I love this. He troubled the army of the Egyptians. He took off their chariot wheels. So they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. Now, this is awesome. They would have overtaken the children of Israel, but God gives them car trouble. flat tires, bad batteries, the chariot wheels fall off. Even the Egyptians at this point are saying, God is fighting for them. This is God defending his people. So again, it's all about timing now. Right at that moment where the children of Israel go out, they've crossed to the other side, and at that moment where the entire Egyptian army is in, we read verse 26, then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians on their chariots and on their horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, all the army of Pharaoh. Not so much as one of them remained. The children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant, Moses. One of the greatest stories of deliverance. Pharaoh, Egypt, their whole army, gone. And the people of God didn't even have to take out a sword. This is the miracle that defines Israel. They would be known as the nation that crossed through the Red Sea. This is the miracle that all future generations would hear about. Hundreds of times in the scripture, old and new, this miracle is referred to. The psalmist says, in Psalm 106, he rebuked the Red Sea also and it dried up. Psalm 33 says, God gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah 51 says, are you not the one who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep? Are you not the one that made the depths of the sea a road for the redeemed to just cross through? Paul speaks of this miracle. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. And of course, it makes Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29, the hall of faith. Great miracle, a great demonstration of God's power, of his defense of his people. And of his ability to crush the enemy. What did they do right after this miracle? Look at verse 1 of chapter 15. It says, then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider, he is thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he's become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. Exodus 15 is a song of worship written and sung by Moses and Miriam. And on the other side of the Red Sea, can you imagine 2 million people singing praise to God? The God who redeemed them miraculously, who saved their lives, the God who's their shield. What a glorious service that must have been. This story was such an encouragement to me this week. I don't have to tell you, we're all living through it. We live in uncertain times. The enemy is at work. Now, the enemy is always at work, but I think he's working overtime right now. I think the devil knows that his time is short. And I think he's trying to destroy people's lives. I think he's trying to destroy our country. I think he's trying to destroy churches. I think he's trying to neutralize God's people. This pandemic over the last 2 years that continues to this day, and the confusion over it, the fear over it, the political division over it all, it's of the enemy. The enemy is thinking he can do us harm. And I'll tell you, there are many, many forces at work that are driving all of us towards fear. Can I remind you this morning, my brother and sister in Christ, that you're a child of God and that you're one of God's redeemed ones? Amen? There was a time in your life where the enemy held you in bondage, where you were living in the kingdom of darkness. But if you're a Christian, you gave your life to Christ, you discovered that he died on the cross for your sins, and he rose again that third day, and you invited him, and he made you a child of God. He redeemed you. And you know what? He crushed the enemy underfoot in your life. You need not fear the enemy. And you need not fear the things that he's trying to do to take you out and to make you live in fear. You know, again, I honestly believe here at this moment, we're at this Red Sea moment, man. And there are going to be people in that Red Sea moment that get consumed by fear and say stupid things and do silly things. But there are also going to be some people who will stand on faith, remembering that God is our shield. The question that I have for you this morning is, which one will you be this year? I think this is a word from God to all of us here as Christians this morning. In Isaiah 41:10. It says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you." Yes, I'll help you. I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand. Psalm 28, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song, I'm going to praise him." Don't cower in fear. Stand with the congregation of God on the other side of the Red Sea, singing the song of the redeemed. Living in victory. Walking in victory. Now, I'm not telling you to be risky. I'm not telling you not to take any precautions. Certainly, take all the precautions. But for crying out loud, live life. Serve God. Do what's right. The light still needs to be light. The salt still needs to be salty. As long as we have breath, we need to be serving Christ. Do you still believe that your God is the God who parted the Red Sea? Is God your shield? Trust him. Serve him. He's crushed the enemy underfoot in your life, and one day, very soon, he will crush the enemy forever. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes? Father, I pray, keep our perspective right and proper and true. pray, Father, that we would not be those who are paralyzed by fear. You've not given us a spirit of fear. We trust you with our lives, both now and forever. Lord, I pray that you would free your people from fear. Free us. And fill us with faith. Lord, we trust you with our lives. We trust you with our loved ones, our family, our friends, our sons, our daughters. We trust you. Parents or grandparents. Lord, I want to pray for anyone here or watching right now online. Have you received Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you become a child of God? Maybe you're checking out church. It's the first of the year. Let's see what church has to offer. And maybe you're doing that because you're unsatisfied or you're afraid, like so many people are afraid. Listen, you need to be a part of God's camp. Let him be your shield. Let him be your savior. You say, how do I become a child in God's family? Well, you got to understand that Christ, the Son of God, came and died for you on the cross, that we're all sinners and our sins deserve punishment, and Christ came and took that punishment for you, and on the third day he rose again. And if you will admit that you're a sinner and invite Christ to be your Lord and Savior, he'll wash away your sins and you will become a child in his family. You'll become a member of his camp. He'll be your shield. But you got to place your faith in him. And I want you to have an opportunity to do that right now. If that's you, just cry out to God in your heart right now, this prayer. Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Be my shield. Be my covering. Be my salvation. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Carry me across to the other side into your kingdom of light. Make me yours. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you. Serve you for every day that you give me. Amen. Amen. Would you stand?